China's seafood imports from Japan dives after the Fukushima wastewater is released. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. A very good morning to you. It's almost a month since Japan began releasing treated wastewater from the Fukushima nuclear plant into the Pacific Ocean. The move was controversial, particularly for Japan's fishing industry, which opposed it. And on the same day, China said it would ban all Japanese seafood imports. China's imports from Japan started to tail off in the summer, and now we've got fresh numbers. Chinese imports of Japanese seafood plummeted by 67% in August, and that's a blow because last year those sales were worth more than $500 million. Earlier I asked our business reporter Mariko Oi who's set to lose out the most.
I think if you're talking about local fishermen, it is a huge hit because China is the biggest importer of Japanese seafood. But if you're talking about Japan's economy as a whole, you know, China is the biggest trading partner, but it imports many other things like cars and machineries and so on. And seafood only accounts for very small portion of that. So, you know, in that sense, it's not going to have a huge impact on the economy. But if you're talking about fishermen, you know, they've been worrying that this ban and this reputational damage again would impact their sales.
I'm curious to know, Mariko, do people in Japan think that fish is safe?
I mean, opinions are, of course, split. It is a very highly divisive issue. And some people feel very, very strongly that it's not safe and therefore this water shouldn't be released. Yeah, there is definitely people who believe that. But at the same time, it was interesting that when China banned it, some of the reaction on social media was that, oh, great, at least this means that, you know, some of this expensive fish could actually be quite cheap within Japan and within the domestic markets.
Yeah, well, thanks for keeping us up to date in the story, Mariko Oi, for us in Singapore. Thanks so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. Official figures showed that the UK inflation was weaker than expected in August, coming in at 6.7%, when economists were expecting it to be more like 7%. Could this mean the Bank of England will pause interest rate hikes this month? The markets are unsure, but overall, the pound is down. Either way, we'll find out on Thursday. Staying with the UK, they could delay a ban on the sale of new petrol and diesel cars here as part of a major environmental policy shift. It's one of a raft of pledges covering things like home heating and energy efficiency rules for landlords. That might change. But one government minister said Britain couldn't save the planet by bankrupting the British people. BBC's climate editor Justin Rowlett has more.
First up, Mr. Sunak is saying he'll stick to the 2050 net zero target. Cutting less now means we'll have to make more rapid carbon cuts in the future. And there's also an argument that making the changes now gives the UK the chance to lead in all sorts of technologies the whole world is going to want in the future. A senior figure in the car industry told me many car companies want the government to stick to the 2030 ban on pure petrol and diesel vehicles. They are spending hundreds of millions of pounds retooling one of the country's biggest industries and want to be certain there's going to be a market for their product.
That was Justin Rowlett. While travel has become more affordable, over-tourism has become a problem. In Italy, the city of Venice has been struggling to manage huge visitor numbers for some time. However, the city has approved a historic measure aimed at trying to curb the influx of day trippers and reduce the crowds on peak tourist days. The BBC's Giovanna Girardi sent this report from Venice.
I'm here in Venice. It's not high season. It's a quite sunny day, very hot, and still crossing Bridge of Sighs is very difficult. There are plenty of people stopping by taking pictures, big groups of tourists.
To tackle overcrowding from tourism, the city of Venice has approved a measure for day trip visitors who have to pay a 5 euros fee and book their visit in advance. Simone Venturini is the city councillor for tourism.
Next year we will run the measure in a trial phase. We will choose only 30 to 40 days where it applies. These will be the days where Venice usually sees the highest numbers of tourists. The idea is to discourage day trip tourists from visiting the city at particularly busy times of year and to invite them to choose another day for a trip.
Overtourism is widely recognized as an urgent issue for Venice. The historic island city is just 7.6 square kilometers in size, but according to the Italian National Statistics Institute, it hosted almost 13 million tourists in 2019. But will the introduction of a daily charge deter tourists? Calandesi are two students and come from Ireland and Scotland, respectively.
I understand it. Yeah. Like, it is so busy. It is impossible to get around sometimes.
Yeah, and all the streets are very crowded, and I imagine if you work and trying to get to work and stuff is like very hard. So it's very understandable, definitely.
Well, I suppose as a tourist, a fiver is quite a lot for just to walk around for a day.
Maria is not convinced that having a fee for day trippers will work.
The measure is completely useless, onerous and absurd. And I think that's another step towards Venice becoming a known city. I don't think that you should have to pay a ticket to visit the city.
That was the BBC's Giovanna Girardi there for us in Venice with that report. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing, Tom on the tech, and I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.